start proving this theorem, and within the proof of this theorem, we will actually learn a few other theorems and learn and state about a few other theorems and a few other invariants, okay? So, but, okay. Well, I want to know how these JNs behave or not with double points. So I first have to understand how J behaves or not with a double point. So let's just do that. So what's a double point? A double point goes to either an overcrossing or, with a minus sign, an undercrossing. And J, sorry, let's start with the bracket. The bracket takes the overcrossing to, what was it? A times horizontal, so A times horizontal plus A inverse times vertical, and the undercrossing will go to A times vertical plus A inverse times horizontal. Basically, it's just rotated 90 degrees. You see, the bracket is defined on unoriented things. There is no unorientation. We didn't need an orientation here. So if you ignore orientations, the only difference between this picture and that picture is rotation by 90 degrees. So you just rotate the previous equation by 90 degrees. Okay? Except that I want to compare like terms. So these are, well, horizontal with horizontal and vertical with vertical. So I'll write it in the opposite order. So I write it as A inverse times horizontal plus A times vertical. Right? But then this is still just the bracket. Now, the way I wrote the Jones polynomial, I have to multiply by minus a cubed to the Rith, but the Rith also has a local expression. The Rith is plus one if the crossing is positive, and negative one if the crossing is negative. Okay? So I could insert these factors into the local part of the computation, and only at the end divide by the invariant of the R naught and make all the ugly substitutions. Okay? So, if I do the right part, so multiply by minus a cubed to the power of the right here is plus one, or the contribution to the right coming from this particular crossing is plus one. Likewise, the contribution to the right coming from this crossing is minus a cubed to the minus one, right? And so this becomes, let's see, negative a to the fourth horizontal, negative a squared vertical. Did I do it right? Okay. And now I multiply by negative a to the minus three, so it becomes negative a to the minus fourth horizontal plus plus a to the minus, sorry, negative a to the minus two vertical. Okay? And doing the change of variables to q, well, the change of variables was a to the fourth goes to 1 over q, so this is q inverse horizontal, and a squared becomes iq to the, sorry, this is negative, and a squared becomes minus q to the minus 1/2. So this is plus q to the 1/2 vertical, and likewise, this should become minus q horizontal plus q to the negative 1/2 vertical. Are you with me? Okay. Now, the next thing that I want to do is I want to cancel out these two terms. So if I multiply the first equation by q and the negative equation, but the second equation by q inverse and subtract, I get, well, these two terms will cancel. So the moral is that q times the Jones polynomial of a knot that has an overcrossing minus q inverse times the Jones polynomial of a knot that has an undercrossing is equal to, well, these two terms canceled by design, and this term becomes, wait, something is wrong. Ooh, this should have been negative and this should have been positive. Sorry. So q times q to the 1/2 is q to the 1/2. So I get q to the 1/2. From here I get, well, q inverse times q to the plus 1/2 is q to the negative 1/2. Okay? And both of these get multiplied by this. So here I get j of this. Okay? So this relation is universally satisfied by the Jones polynomial. Okay? The Jones polynomial always satisfies this relation. This relation is called the Skein relation for Jones, or maybe the Jones Skein relation, and in fact it was discovered before the Kaufman bracket. Okay? And it almost defines the Jones polynomial. Namely, well, you can think of this relation as allowing you to unknot knots. It tells you what the difference between an overcrossing and an undercrossing is, up to factors. Now, if you have an arbitrary knot, clearly you can unknot it by flipping over to under. Okay? So if you have an arbitrary knot, you flip somewhere to get it to be closer to the unknot. Okay? But then you have to pay a price. But the price you have to pay involves one crossing less. So inductively, you can compute the Jones polynomial from this relation. The only thing you need is to base the induction. The base of the induction is, as before, knots with no double points, sorry, with no crossings. And you can check that j of a knot, which is, or in fact, a link, which is made out of k unknotted circles, is equal to, well, nothing changed, it's just the old value. So it's q to the 1/2 plus q to the negative 1/2 raised to the power k minus 1. Okay? So these two allow to compute j always. Okay? You know, as an aside, it's not really important, but how do you show that you can, by flipping crossings, you can always go to the unknot? So the easiest way to do it is to turn the note descending. So a note is descending, or you know what, let's start from a descending note. So a note is so-called descending if when you start drawing it at some point, so you mark some point as S for start, and when you start drawing it, you always go down. Descending notes are particularly easy to draw because every time you go back, you must go under where you've been. So there is no, you know, you don't need to prepare gaps in advance. You can just draw as you please and make the gaps as you go along. Okay, so that's a descending note. Clearly, by flipping crossings, you can turn any note to be descending. Right? If some crossing is of the wrong kind, so you go through the lower strand before coming back again through the upper strand, then you flip it and it becomes a descending crossing. So by flipping crossings, you can make every note descending. And on the other hand, descending notes are clearly trivial because you can just, things move freely. Things slide on top of each other without any obstruction. So you can just slide it to be a circle with no difficulty. Okay? So that's just an aside about how to formalize the fact that this relation allows you to compute J of n. Anyway, well, I should continue with the proof, but maybe before that I'll tell you that this relation has cousins. So, first of all, let's do it over here. So there is actually an older instance of this relation, and it's called the Conway, or maybe the Conway-Alexander, or the Alexander-Conway polynomial, and let's call it C, and it's a polynomial with values in, well, it's a polynomial with integer coefficients in the variable, I guess, let's call it z. And it satisfies the relation c of an overcrossing minus c of an undercrossing is equal to z times C of a smoothing, and also an initial condition. So C of K unknotted circles is 1 if K is equal to 1 and 0 otherwise. So in fact, this relation was known for at least 20 years before the relation I wrote over there. Or this polynomial, sorry, the Alexander polynomial was known for at least 50 years, or this polynomial was known for at least 50 years before, and for at least 20 years it was known that it satisfies this relation. And yet it took until the 80s until it was noted that this relation is satisfied. Also defines a knot invariant. Anyway, the moment Jones found this relation in the early 80s, people started looking for similar relations that also define invariants, and it turned out that practically anything you write defines an invariant with these ingredients. Okay? So Likewise, there is something called the Homfli polynomial, or maybe the Homfli PT polynomial. And so the story is that, again, maybe in 84 or so, 2 years after the Jones polynomial, maybe the Bulletin of the American Mathematical Society, but I'm not sure, received three papers at the same time defining the same polynomial. And they, instead of deciding which one was first, they decided to combine the papers and publish it as one. And the author of that paper were Hoste, Okniano, Millet, Frade, Likoris, and Yetter. Hence, it's the Homfli polynomial. And a little later, it was found that at the same time, two further people discovered the same polynomial, and this is Pshetitsky and Tracik. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Hence, the Homfli PT polynomial. Okay? Now, in the parametrization that I like, it is defined in exactly the same way as the Jones polynomial, except replacing Q by Q to the n over 2. So the relation is Q to the n over 2. Homfli of overcrossing minus q to the negative n over 2 Homfli of undercrossing is equal to q to the 1 half minus q to the negative 1 half Homfli of a smoothing, and the initial condition is Homfli of k circles is equal to q to the n over 2 minus q to the minus n over 2 divided by q to the 1 half minus q to the minus 1 half, all of this raised to the power k minus 1. Okay? Really, if you allow capital N to vary, these three points are generic. Okay? So in fact, you could write it with any, well, A inverse, and delta. Okay? So you could replace this by different variables that make it generic, and then and you'll still get an invariant. But there are reasons to like this parametrization. Okay. One more thing about this parametrization: if n is equal to 2, this becomes the Jones polynomial. Right, if n is equal to 2, this becomes q minus q inverse divided by square root of q minus square root of q minus 1 over square root of q, which simplifies to the expression written over there. So the Homfli polynomial contains the Jones polynomial. And furthermore, it also contains the Alexander polynomial, but it's a bit trickier. So to see that it contains the Alexander polynomial, you have to take the Homfli polynomial. It will be a function of capital N. You differentiate it with respect to N, and then evaluate it at N equals 0. And the relation that remains is precisely the relation written here. So so this is more general than anything else. Okay. This said, there is still a non-trivial theorem to prove, which I haven't proven, which is that these formulas define an invariant. Okay? It's clear by the same argument as before that using these formulas you can compute the Conway or the Homfli polynomial of any knot. But it's not clear that the answer is well defined, and it's not clear that the answer is invariant under Rademeister moves. This still requires a proof, and I'm not giving this proof. I've only proven it for the Jones polynomial. For the Jones polynomial, I've proven it because it has an alternative description using the Kaufman bracket. Okay. Anyway, I'll claim that using the exact same mechanism, all of these are defined by finite type invariants. Okay? So I'll generalize the statement to write h of e to the x, so evaluate h at e to the x and write it as sum of x to the n hn. For the Conway you don't even need to do anything, so just write the Conway, which is a polynomial in z, write it as sum of z to the n cn. And the claim will be that Hn and Cn are also of type N. Okay? But I guess I'll do that later. And now come back to the proof. Okay? Well, the proof is actually really easy. So maybe I'll write this. I need to make the substitution e to the q equals e to the x, so I'll make it. Okay? So let's just write it as e to the x j of over minus e to the negative x j of under is equal to e to the x over 2 minus e to the negative x over 2 j of a smoothing. And now notice that this is really 1 plus, or if you expand it as a power series, it starts with 1 plus something. If you expand this as a power series, it also starts as 1 plus something. In fact, I think it's 1 minus something, but it doesn't matter. Okay? Where the thing that appears here in the something is proportional to x, always has x's in it. So this will always have x's in it as well. And finally, this starts with 1 plus. This also starts with 1 plus. The ones cancel. So this whole expression starts with x. In fact, the coefficient is 1 because it's x over 2 minus minus x over 2. So it starts with x and then higher order terms. Okay? So what I can do is I can move all the terms proportional to x, or that contain higher powers of x, to the right-hand side of the equation. And then in the left-hand side of the equation, I'm left with j of over minus j of under is equal to temporarily, let's just write things proportional or things containing x. things, or you know what, let's write it even differently. X times things, where the things are either whatever comes from the higher terms in the Taylor expansion of e to the x over 2, or whatever comes from the higher terms of the Taylor expansion that comes here, or j's of this knot, or j's of various knots. Okay? But it doesn't really matter, because I mean, later I will have to find out what these things are, at least to some precision. But for now, it doesn't matter. The point is that I've just found that J of a double point can be written as has x's in it. Okay? Or said differently, if you have a knot with several double points, okay, then by computing J, you do this, well, every double point expands to be an over minus an under, okay? And every over minus under becomes a certain combination of J's of other things. So basically you will replace the double point either by an overcrossing or by an either by an overcrossing or by an undercrossing or by a smoothing with various coefficients, but also an x outside, an x that you can pull outside. Likewise, well, this is exactly the same. So this will be again a factor of x with over, under, and smoothing, and likewise for the third one. Okay? But if you have n plus 1 double points, so if you evaluate j on a knot with n plus 1 double points, or you know what, let's just say more than n double points, no, let's say n plus 1, each double point will contribute a factor of x, and then will get replaced by a certain combination of over, under, and smoothing with further factors. But at least we will have x to the n plus 1 outside, and then inside we will have mess. Later I will have to figure out what this mess is, but for now let's just keep it as mess. Okay? But we're done. This means that the coefficient of x to the n in this is zero. Okay? So inside here, the coefficient of x to the n is equal to 0, because it starts at x to the n plus 1. Okay? So the coefficient, okay, so it follows that jn of a knot with n plus 1 double points, n plus 1. Right, so jn is the coefficient of x to the n. So you take the Jones of a knot with n plus 1 double points, it looks like this. The coefficient of x to the n must therefore be 0, so this is 0. QED. Okay? And in fact, at the same time, by exactly the same proof, we've also proven the other two theorems, right? For the Conway, it's completely free, right? Because conway of over minus conway of under is by definition conway of a double point. The statement written here is that conway on a double point is z times conway of a smoothing. If you have n plus 1 double points, you have n plus 1 z's and n plus 1 smoothings. But the n plus 1 z's means that the coefficient of z to the n is 0 and you're done. And over here, well, just the only thing that I've used here is the fact that the coefficient of j of, or the factor that comes in front of j of an overcrossing is 1 plus stuff that depends on x. Well, if you replace q to the n over 2 by, if you replace q by e to the x, this becomes e to the nx over 2, which is also 1 plus stuff. So the same argument works. Are you okay? Are you with me? Okay. There is one more thing to do. And, well, I told you that every finite type invariant has a weight system, that I want to study invariants of type n by studying their nth derivative. So I have to find out what the nth derivative is. I don't know if I have to find out, but I want to find out what the nth derivative is. So I want to tell you how to compute w of j sub n. Okay? And to do this, I can no longer settle with the fact that this is a mess. I have to find what the mess is. Okay? Because what I want to do is I want to evaluate j or not with precisely n crossings, sorry, n double points, so that the coefficient here will be x to the n, and then the constant term of the mess will be jn, which is what I want to find. Okay? So, well, now I do care about the mess, but I only care about the constant term of the mess. Okay? I only, you know, if I want the coefficient of jn, or sorry, if I want jn, so I want the coefficient of x2, so if I want to compute jn on a knot with exactly n double points, then from each double point I extract one factor of x, and I need to know the constant term of what remains. So let's do everything back again with a bit more precision. So rather than writing x times things, let's write the things ignoring higher powers of x. But that's kind of easy. We already practically did it. So this is x plus more stuff, right? The Taylor expansion of this is x plus more stuff. The more stuff I don't care about. The x I pulled out, so I just get j. So I just get this. So this is j of a smoothing. Okay? Now, this is 1 plus x plus, I think it's x squared over 2 afterwards, right? But I don't care. Okay? So I only need to keep the x. I move it to the other side, so it becomes negative j of n overcrossing. And then this is 1 minus x plus x squared over 2, but I don't really need to know that. But anyway, 1 minus x with a minus here becomes, and then move to the other side, becomes negative j of an undercrossing. Okay? But I can do even better. I've already determined that j of over minus j of under, sorry, I've already determined that these two terms differ by factors that are proportional to x. But these two terms are, but I don't care. When I'm inside this parenthesis, when I'm inside a part that will become the mess here, I don't care about factors of x. So I can replace an undercrossing by an overcrossing at no cost. Okay? So I can just replace this by twice j of n overcrossing, and as written, I wrote a false equation because I have to add three dots for the things I don't care, all the things I ignore. Okay? But now I can do this at each level. So I do it for each double point separately. So I get, for the first double point, I get a smoothing minus twice a crossing, and in fact it doesn't matter how I write the crossing. For the next one, the same thing. For the next one, the same thing. And now I know what shape the mess has. Okay? So now let's think. Suppose I had a chord diagram and I wanted to compute Jn of it. Okay? Oh, sorry. I'm not done yet. No, I'm not done. I'm not done. So I still have another step to do over here, and this is the following. Oh, you know what? Let's do it as a sorry. Let's do it the way I was going to do it. Do I have time? Oh yeah, definitely. So suppose now you have a chord diagram. What you do is you find a knot that represents it. It doesn't matter which one. We already know that. You find a knot whose underlying singularities represent this chord diagram. Then you compute J. Okay? J tells you to replace each double point by either a smoothing or by an overcrossing. So this becomes x squared times, so let's write it in this way, okay, where each of these circles could be either a smoothing or, negative 2 twice times a crossing. Okay? And then, in order to compute Jn, if I want to find Jn out of that, this, all I have to know is what is the constant term in the answer. Okay? Now, here is a little lemma or claim or I don't know what to call it. So lemma the constant term, so in fact it's J0, okay, of a link with K components is always the same. Why? First of all, I can always flip crossings. This will only change the higher order terms. And then I can make it the well, it becomes J0 of the unlink with K components. But the unlink with K components is this, and the constant term over here is, well, the constant term in here is 1, sorry, is, well, the constant term here is 1. If I make the substitution Q is equal to e to the x, the constant term here is 1. From here it's also 1, so you get 2 to the power k minus 1. So the answer is 2 to the power k minus 1. And now let's go back to this picture. So here, after making this substitution, I'll get a linear combination of 2 to the n knots. Or in our case, 2 to the 2 knots, that are obtained by replacing the n double points either by a smoothing or by negative 2 times a crossing. And then for these knots, I only have to count the number of components and take 2 to the number of the components, of the number of components. So by taking the Jn, this becomes a certain sum of the 2 to the n replacements of the form where you replace a double point by this minus twice that, to be precise, an overcrossing. Okay? And for each replacement, you take 2 to the number of components minus 1. Okay? But this I could have done without ever drawing the knot. Right? The number of components that a link has is the number of components of its parameter space. I don't need to draw it. Okay? So I could skip the middle steps of drawing things in R3. Okay? So here is the same thing, more succinctly. Succinctly? Is this correct English, Peter? Good. So more succinctly? Okay. A shorter way of saying it is to say, well, a chord corresponds to a double point, which is, so you know, let's number the thing. So if this is 1, 2, 3, 4, then this would be 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay? Which gets replaced by, on the parameter space, sorry, which get, in R3, it gets replaced by the smoothing. So 1 goes to 4, and 2 connects with 3, minus twice the crossing, which is labeled in the same way, 1, 3, 1, 3, 2, 4. But on the level of parameter space, this just means that we replace, we replace these two arcs in the parameter space by arc connecting, an arc connecting 1 to 4 and an arc connecting 2 to 3. Okay? And this just means that we ignore the singularity. The singularity goes away. Okay? So minus twice times this. Okay? So the algorithm we get at the end is that if you have a diagram with, you know, like, let's put subscript n to indicate that it has n chords, you first apply to it the rule that this becomes a bridge minus a nothing, a twice a nothing, and then you replace anything with, so you get a combination of diagrams in which you no longer have chords, but each one now may have more connected components. So you replace a diagram with k components gets replaced by 2 to the k minus 1. Maybe I should do it by an example. Okay. So examples. Okay, where does the empty diagram go? You see, this is the case n equals 0. Well, it goes to 1. Okay, that's because that was kind of the non-example example. For some reason, my phone is not showing the time. Can somebody show me the time? Tell me the time.
5:02.
What?
It's like 5:02.
5:02. Okay. Okay. So, right. There are no replacements to make, so I'm just left with a single cycle, and with k component, which has one component, so it's 2 to the k minus 1 is 1. Let's do something more interesting. The chord diagrams with one chord, becomes, well, you replace the chord either by a bridge, or twice you replace it by nothing. You keep the rest the same. Okay? And this goes to, so this has two components, so it's 2. And this has one component, so it's 1. So it's 2 minus 2, which is 0. Okay? And let's do two more examples, I guess. Let's do this diagram and this diagram. So this diagram becomes, okay, let me do it a different way. The first way, the first summon is where you replace each chord by a bridge. So you get two bridges. They are intersecting, but it's only combinatorics. The intersection has no meaning. Okay? Then I complete the rest as it was, and that's the first term. The second term is, you replace one by a bridge and you delete the other. But the two terms that you get in this way are the same. So you get twice times. Then there is also, well, when you delete a chord, you add a factor of 2. So there is another factor of 2 here. And what you're left with is the same picture as here. Okay? And finally, you can delete both, and if you delete both, you get just a circle, but when you delete something, the coefficient is negative 2. Negative 2 squared gives you 4. Okay? And this becomes, so let's see, how many cycles are here? Well, if you trace this, it's one cycle. So this is the parallel of the statement that if you replace each of the double points that were here by a smoothing, you'll end up tracing the knot only once. Or you'll end up, what you'll get will be a single component thing. So let's check this. So first of all, what are the orientations? everything is oriented this way, so replacing it by a smoothing will give you this over here and this over here, and indeed what you have here is a single component. Okay? So this has a single component, so it goes to 1. This has two components, so it goes to 2. This has one component, so it goes to 1. So I get 1 minus 4, no, minus 8 plus 4. Minus 3. Okay. And anybody has a guess where this would go? So here is a little principle. If you have an isolated chord, in knot theory, it corresponds to a kink. Right? You could realize an isolated chord by a knot with a kink. For a kink, the difference between over and under is nothing because of Rademeister 1. So this better go to 0. Okay? And you can check that indeed it does. Okay? And I think I'll stop here and, do some more general theory next time.